TSF Church is a Shepherd's Flock International Church where we are committed to raising a holy, healthy, and highly successful people. Thank you.
So let's read from John chapter 5, from verse 1 to 9. John chapter 5, from verse 1 to 9. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gates, was the pool of Bethesda with five covered pouches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the pouches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been healed for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath day. Father, in the name that is above every other name, Jesus Christ, we invite you into this meeting right now. We invite you into this last service of the year. We ask that you breathe through us. Let your word come alive. Let your word connect to bones, marrows, joints. Let the real extraordinary miracles be visible in our hands. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Now, if you recall with me, I mentioned that miracles are signs. Miracles are happenings, are events to prove man's inadequacy and God's sufficiency. Miracles will always prove that man is inadequate. Man is inadequate. Man cannot do everything. You can't do everything for yourself. When a miracle happens, it's just to prove to us that God is still our sufficiency. That's why I like that hymn. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my all and all. And he is my strength. It is only in Christ I can be sufficient. Sufficient is the Christ. So anytime a miracle happens like it happened here, it is to show us our insufficiency. If you think it's the money in your bank account that will carry you, you just see that by the time you spend it finish, you wonder, where will the next one come? And before you know it, before you finish spending that one, another supplier has come. Christ is our sufficiency. I want it to fall deep inside of you. That is the reason why he wrought miracles in your life. He's trying to show you, I am your sufficiency. I am the God that changeth not. Christ is our sufficiency. If you make this the watchword, you will see miracles happen naturally in your life. Most of the miracles, as was told in the Gospel of John, were to prove the claim of Jesus as the Son of God, the Messiah, a much expected Savior of the world. I like the book of John so much. From John 1 to 24, it was stories. He was trying to prove to us that God is Jesus, was the Messiah, was the Savior we were all expecting. He's the King of Kings. And he had power over everything. Now, first, he was a son of man and also the son of God at the same time. I don't want to go into that. Because that, it will be a Christmas message. But we have gone past Christmas. Amen. But right now, I want to tell you Now, the time of this year, we have just celebrated birth of Christ called Christmas. And Merry Christmas in Jesus' name to everyone. Many will ask how this was possible. What? How can a virgin give birth to a child? Miracle always shows the inadequacy of man and the divine adequacy and sufficiency of God. I repeat it again. The divine sufficiency of God. He said, he prepared the table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with fresh oil. And what happens to your cup? It's over. That's the extraordinary. He said, God is able to bless you to the point that you become a blessing unto others. We read it in that scripture. When we're talking about prosperity, he said, God is able to bless you that you now have extra to give unto others. When we were telling the reason for prosperity, that when God prospers you, it's for you to give to others. Amen. I have discovered that what we'll see and imagine to be a new breakthrough has always been there. Let me explain. You know, let me use science. I discovered that it has always been there. It's just that we were the ones that have not discovered it. How can it be said that I can talk to somebody in Canada, right here in Nigeria, and I can see him in a video call? Could this be possible 10 years ago? Obviously, no. Many of us, we doubt it. Oh, possible. It's not possible. And it's not this, it's not that. But today, show possible, but possible. Let me even shock you. There is a new one that is coming, which they are calling 5G, 5G, and they are talking about it that is satanic. I don't join them. It is knowledge. The Bible says at the end time, knowledge will increase. So if you the knowledge has increased to that point, you know that the beauty of that one? Is a virtual life. A doctor can be abroad and he can be operating somebody here in Nigeria. They will set up everything, set the person up, and he will stay in London in his device and be operating somebody here in a Nigerian hospital. And somebody is saying, is this possible? Then how does God do miracle? What I concluded is that God, we are just trying to explain how God does his miracle. God does not, is not debarred by space or time or distance. That was how he was able to heal the son of the nobleman. The man came to him and said, look, don't come to my house. All I just needed to you was speak a word and my servants will be healed. And Jesus said, ah, according to your faith, be it unto you. And the Bible says, and that same hour is just that miracle. We are now trying to develop a technology to be able to carry out that miracle. Science is just trying to explain God. That's my conclusion. Science is just trying to explain what God has concluded in the Bible and written, kept in his word. So we are trying to find, oh, how can this be? God is always showing us that we are not sufficient of our own self. Even with that, trying to explain the miracle of how it happened, then we have not even reached one-tenth, a pinch of what God can still do. Because he's the what? He's the sufficient God. Awamaridi. You cannot explain him. You cannot describe him. In our previous teaching on this series, talking about the extraordinary miracles, I gave you 7 miracles. And I looked at one. How many of us can remember those 7 miracles? Number one, I gave you the miracle of changing of water into wine. I said you can find that in John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. Showing you that Jesus has the power over the quality of life. I was showing you the difference between water and wine. How the tasteless life of a person can become tasty like a wine if Jesus steps into the situation. Number two, we said the healing of the nobleman's son. John 4, 46 to 54. The man just said, only speak the word. I have not explained this, but I will rush you. I just want to go over all these 7 because today is the last Sunday in the month of December, and I should have finished this series. Number three, the healing of the impotent man. That's what I'm looking at today. John 5:1-9. Jesus has power over time and seasons of life. The feeding of the 5,000 people, Jesus has power over quantity. How many? How much? What is the value? God can provide. God can make provision out of nothing. He called those things that be not as though they were. The walking on water, John 6:16-21, Jesus has power over natural laws of nature. He can suspend the laws of the land for your sake. A story is said about a man of God who was in the plane, and when he got into the plane, it was announced, the pilot announced that we are in a storm, and this plane looks as if it's going to crash because we don't have the two engines, we only have one engine. And the man of God said, I cannot crash because he said this aeroplane cannot crash because I am in this plane. And when I go, Jesus goes with me. Jesus did not crash. And before you know it, when he got to the point when the pilot had lost hope and had removed his hand and removed everything from autopilot and was trying to navigate it, he said, the pilot giving the testimony, he said, I don't know who sat next to me. But the person who sat next to me took over the plane. And before I could say Jack Robinson, we landed on an island that I don't even know where the island is on my map. I have never studied to find the island on my map. And I have been doing this job for the past 15 years. And the plane landed safely on an island. Apparently, that island was a man-made island in the war, in World War I, either one or two. The U.S. had made that island. That was the island they made then to be using it to penetrate into their enemy's territory. The enemy did not know where they were coming from. But from that island, they were launching attacks to the enemy. So it was a secret island. It was not on their map. But because man is inadequate, Jesus is his sufficiency. He knows all things. He took that plane to land in the middle of the sea. They thought they were crashing. They thought their end had come. But because somebody was there who carried Jesus, that plane landed successful in an island and was safe before help came for it. The man feeding on 5,000, the walking on water, the healing of the blind man, Jesus has power over misfortunes of life. The man was born blind. I wish I could explain that. John 10. That passage is so loaded with the gospel. It was this total package of the gospel. John 9. The raising of Lazarus from the grave. John 11. Wow. Do you know who Lazarus was? Lazarus was the best friend of Jesus. If you read that John 11, 1 to that, to the point of 35, you will see that Lazarus was the best friend of Jesus. Lazarus that will not be in the house, and Jesus can go to the house, and the two sisters of Jesus will attend to Jesus so well. It means that he was a very good friend. Because how many of us can leave our friend to go and stay with our sister? Be sincere. You can allow your friend and say, I am not there. He will stay with my sisters. Won't you be scared? But this one was so, that's what the kind of relationship he had with them. To the extent that some people rumored it in the Bible then, that he must be dating the senior sister, Mary. Because they never saw, he comes there to eat all the time. And yet, his best friend died. How can the best friend of Jesus die? Amen. I'm going somewhere this morning. I know we have looked at the first miracle. But all this miracle, all these things I'm describing this morning may be describing us. Because we are ending this year and we are looking at it. God did, yes. But we still want him to do some things. We have what we call mixed feelings. Oh, he may be describing the way those other people also felt while those miracles were going on. Look at the feeding of 5,000. People were hungry. They had empty pockets. They were hopeless of where will the next food come from. And yet Jesus stepped in. The man born blind, the man was born with that misfortune of being blind. Poverty. Nobody was hopeful that he will see again. That's the way we should say it in our own parlance. He has resigned to fate. Well, what will be, will be. He has lost faith. Nobody was even trying to help him anymore. People were just pitying him. Take, be eating. At least you are still alive, you are not dead. Be eating. So the man resorted to begging and was begging for food to eat. Because, Abby, was it his fault? He was born that way. I was a misfortune. So many of us be, I accept it like this. Well, if it's like this, it's going to end, no problem. But when Jesus showed up, the feeling of sorry, feeling sorry for yourself changed. The case of that man changed to the extent that some people saw him and they were like, I know him. But the one I know does not see. How come this one sees? And they were even fighting. You know, let people say, he's the same, he's not him. He's the same, he's not him. And the person is listening, just smiling. I am the one. And the person is busting their bubble. Or they are taking a bet. Don't worry, let's go and check. Okay, 10,000. If like, let's bet it. You will see, it's not him. It's him. And they got to him. And he's saying, I am him. I was blind before, but now I what? I see. This could be describing many of us. People may be pitying us. We may be begging to eat. We may be looking and feeling and faith is gone. Look at the raising of Lazarus. I mentioned to us that Lazarus was the best friend of Jesus. We have served God. We have become so faithful to God. Coming to church every Sunday, cleaning, doing everything, putting everything in order, doing everything just to please God. And yet, things are dying in our hands. We are running into depths. And yet, it looks as if God is not even seeing anything that we are doing. Oh, our faith is dampened. Our belief in Christ is being affected. We ask ourselves, is Jesus truly real? Is this Jesus real? How can he be real and I'll be facing all these things I'm facing? How can he be real and I'll be going hungry? Can't he see that I'm perishing? Just like the disciples cried when they saw them, when they saw the storm and they looked at it and it looked as if the boat was going to sink. And yet Jesus walked on the water of that same sea that was going to bury them. He walked on it to them and was coming to them. And they said, if you are the one, let me come too. And Jesus said to him, come. And he too began to walk. I don't know who I'm describing his situation this morning. I know I'm describing my own situation too. Because there are still some turbulence that I need God to make me walk on them like Peter walked on them. I need God to still help me suspend some laws and move my life forward. Because in 2021, he has said to me, accelerate forward. Don't look behind. Move forward. Remember, all this happened that the glory of God might be revealed among us. It goes to show that we are inadequate as human beings. God is our sufficiency. So let your faith be cured this morning. Miracles can still happen. We have 4 days before the year will run out. Before this December, we pack up. Miracles can still happen because God, Jesus Christ, has the power over times and season. Jesus still has power over what? Times and what? Seasons. I remember a friend one time when we had the first recession, the one that I witnessed, and she came to give the testimony. He said, if this is what they call recession, let it continue because I am blessed for it. That same year, She packed to a 5-bedroom flat. She thought that was the end in the early in the year. She thought, oh, 5-bedroom flat. She was still thanking God for that. And before she knew it, our company came and said, you can't live there, oh, because we have a new branch in Dubai. You and your family will need to go to Dubai to go and become the manager of the one in Dubai. You and your family. The husband was working very well somewhere. They told him, they had to beg the husband, say, don't worry, we will pay you your salary. Just tell us the amount it is. We will pay you that amount in dollars. So the husband was like, will I go? Will I not go? Will I go? And the wife was like, Oga, they say you should come and eat. You say the date is far. Is this spoon they say you should bring or plates? Come and eat. They didn't say bring anything. Come and eat. Today, as I'm talking to you, they bought a house recently in Ikoyi. Because of EFCC wahala, they didn't pay once. But that house is worth over 500 million naira. And I was like, is it only you? She said, if it is, this is the what they call recession, let it continue. God can still do miracle. The story is told of a brother. 31st night, they came for prayer meeting. It was still 9 o'clock. And somebody, the pastor said, who among you here believes that God can still give him a miracle before this year runs out? 9 o'clock. In the next 3 hours, it will be Happy New Year. So everybody rushed forward, hoping that the pastor will just pray for them and send them back. So they rushed forward. It's okay. Just kneel down there and remain there. If you know you are not expecting a miracle, you can go back at any point in time. And they were going back after some time. When it was 10, he still asked them, are you sure God is able to give you a miracle for this year and runs out? And before you know it, some people started going back, going back, going back. By 11:59, it was remaining only one brother. So the pastor said, okay, I want to teach some people faith. Brought out a Tia Robert Toyota Camry and said, because you waited, you trust God to the end, I want to fulfill God's mandate over your life. And that was how, by 11:59, he got a brand new Tia Robert car before the year pack up. I don't know who is hearing my voice right now. And you are saying, will this year go like that? By the word of the Lord. The Bible says he sent forth his word, and his word he led them. I send the word of the Lord to activate your miracles in the name of Jesus. The heavens over you is open, and there is a release of your benefits in the name of Jesus. Jesus has power over the times and seasons of life. I have read to you John chapter 5 verse 1 to 9, talking about the man that was impotent 38 years. I know if I were you, if I were, God forbid, I can't be that man because I have understanding of Jesus. 38 years. Oh, Matibakamu. Abi? Kilotuku. Because I was trying to ask myself, okay, how old is this man? Before he became sick. That means he was once enjoying God. And all of a sudden, he became sick. And 38 years, he was in one place. NIV says he was an invalid. Vegetable. You know vegetable? Ugu. Vegetable. Kobulo. Of no use. Immediately you pluck it away from the farm. Is there any use? If you don't eat it, it becomes useless. He was an invalid. 38 good part of, the good part of his life was gone. They say a fool at 40 is a fool forever. So look at it, just 2 more years, he would have become a fool, complete fool, full stop, fool. Yes, now 38 years. They say if a person has died for 38 years, Yoruba used to say he's no more a stranger to the coffin. I mean, that's their own adage. Oku, Oguandu, Konje, Alejo, Sare. He's no more a stranger to the grave. He already knows where the grave is.
So that man must have been enjoying, he has must have resigned to faith and said, okay, oh, this year has ended. Okay, we agree, he has ended. That's how the years used to end all the year. Is that describing you this morning? But I want to show you some things. What kept that man there for 38 years? There were six things that kept him there. All these things were tied to disobedience. Were tied to sin. Number one, the man had lost focus and attention. That's why when Jesus saw him, Jesus asked him the question, will you want to get well? He was still looking around. I was looking at everybody around. And no, it's because nobody helped. Do you want to get well? He didn't even know that the person standing in front of him was Jesus. Many of us still wonder about our focus, our attention is still far from Jesus. That's not too good. That's disobedience. Because Jesus says, cast all your burdens, cast all your cares upon me. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. If he started a good work in January, he will bring it to pass. Even till the 31st night of December. Number two, the man was constantly confessing negative. Can we see it so you understand what I'm saying? He constantly was just confessing negative about himself. Hey, would you want to get well? Look at what did he say in verse 7. He said, I can't. That was negative. Who told you can't? Who told you that tomorrow will not get better? Who told you that by this time tomorrow, your status will not have changed? Who is the person making that verdict? Ask yourself that question. It's a form of disobedience for you to be saying you can't, when the Bible has said you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He was telling Jesus, I can't. Number three, the man blamed everybody and everything else. Say, my neighbor, they didn't come to carry me. My sister, the one that came to drop me here. My auntie, my uncle that came to drop me here. None of them even came. My children, I didn't even see them again. None of them even come to like say, okay, let's stay with him. So when they trouble the water, we will push you inside the water. Nobody even came. They didn't even remember to even say they will bring food for me. He was telling Jesus all the story. They asked him the question, do you want to get well? He was blaming everybody. He was not thankful. Because you may be wondering, why should he be thankful? 38 years in a place and he has not died. The fact that he still draws the breath of life. The Bible says, a living dog is better than a dead lion. So we should thank him for the breath of life. Because it is not our life. He gave us. He says, and when he fashioned man, he created us, and he breathed into man, and man became a what? A living being. Number four. The man limited God in his idea. He was perceiving, God was in front of him, asking him the question, do you want to get well? And he was like, I can't. Is it you that want to do it or God wants to do it? Many of us are like this man. The Bible is saying, go forward. Your heart is saying, Jesus is speaking through you. Go and take a decision. Go and do this. Go and do that. I can't. Oh, if I go there, they won't answer me. They won't do this. They won't do that. Hey, they won't answer. I will not be favored. You keep saying negative. You keep blaming everything. Oh, because there was traffic, that's why I got late there. Because there was this, that was what happened. Number five, the man didn't believe or had any form of knowledge about divine health. All he was expecting that Sunday, one person would carry him and throw him into the water. But he didn't know that there was someone who had the power of life and death. who had the power over times and season, who can uplift, who can bring down, who can bless, who can break curses, who can move the life of a person forward. They didn't realize this. Amen. He didn't know this. He didn't understand. He didn't understand the scripture. He didn't understand the scripture. Number six, all he did was eat, sleep, and wake up. He had resigned to faith. He didn't have faith again. He was having faith. F-A-T-E. That was the one he was having. He was not having faith. F-A-I-T-H. He had resigned to faith. The sick man does what we nearly all do. He limits God's help to his own ideas and does not dare promise himself more than he conceives in his mind. I am here to tell you it's only a time. It's only a season. Get connected to God who has power over times and seasons. The rest will be history. Breaking free from the disobedience which could cause the season of pain and invalidity to persist in our lives and become a vicious cycle of problem. All we need to do to break this cycle of repeated problems, this cycle of limiting God in our ideas, of remaining in one spot, to break this cycle, just like the Israelites, they were going around the mountain for complete year, 40 years, until Jesus, God spoke and said, hey, you have gone around this mountain enough. Now, move forward. Move northward. And that was how they were able to move and continue the journey into their promised land. So how do you break it? I want to quickly give you six things to counter those six disobedience. And this is where I will draw the close. Number one, keep your gaze on Jesus. Acts 3, 1 to 10. When Peter and John were going to the temple to pray, they saw the man that was lame. What did they say to him? Look at us. What were they saying? Look up to Jesus that is in us. No wonder in Exodus, when they were being beaten by the snake, by the plague, what they just did was to create an emblem. And they said, okay, look up to the snake. If you are beaten, you will live. So do you want to live and be able to claim all your benefits in full and don't remain invalid and be able to break yourself free from every stagnation? Look up to Jesus. Let your attention and focus be on Jesus. Number two, remain positive. Whether you are in the valley, whether you are on the mountaintop, whether you are in the marshy area of life, always remain positive. You know, I always tell you, I am more than this. I can never be poor again. I am more than this. Remain positive. Even in the place of where you feel you don't have the next, you don't know where the next meal will come from, still remain positive. Don't tell yourself, I can't. Tell yourself, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Romans 8, 35 to 39. Paul was writing, talking to the Romans. He said this. He said, what can remove us? What can take us away? What can take away my focus, my attention from looking unto Jesus? He said, is it death? Is it flogging? Is it pain? Is it suffering? Is it sickness? Is it diseases? One of the greatest things that has crippled man is fear. It's fear. The fear of the unknown. We are afraid of what we have not even seen. I remember one time walking on the streets and somebody just said, ole, 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 and everybody disappeared. And I was like, what? Let's even see the thing coming. I remember watching something on YouTube that was very funny and very interesting. The pastor came to the pulpit and was preaching. He was about to preach and was reading the Bible passage. And all of a sudden, He ran away from the pulpit.
Till we meet again next time, keep shining the light of Christ, and God will encounter you on a daily basis. Bye for now.